Hello and welcome to Interview Points with Aldous Tyler. Tonight we're doing something different. I am recording this live in quite the bustling crowd of just wonderful people here at the Dardanelles at their open house, which is actually their grand finale, their swan song, if you will. And I'm here to definitely in tribute to their owner, Barb. But happening to be in the crowd right now is Kathleen Falk. Kathleen, thank you for joining us.
Well, Aldous, I wish that our listeners could smell the foods that we're smelling right now, because Barbara has cooked up a storm.
Well, isn't it just amazing? I've always loved just the scent of the place, but it's also just matched with the warm decor.
Yes, it's just warm and friendly, and you always feel welcome, and you always see people you know. But it's not the only reason I'm going to miss her. There's not many people that know this about what Barbara has done, but about 6 years ago, we started a program in Ally Drive and helping moms and dads get jobs. And Barbara was the first person to step up and say, "I'll give people a job." And for 6 years, she has been giving people jobs and mentoring them, coaching them, helping them find ways to get to work, believing in them, taking a chance on them when they had no employment history. So I will be Barbara's biggest fan for the rest of my life.
Well, and you know, that actually is, it's, to start off with, I didn't know all of that, and I'm really glad you brought that up. But it doesn't necessarily surprise me to hear this about her, because Barb just has always been such a warm and giving person.
Yes.
She was one of the biggest supporters that we had when we were fighting to keep Mike 92.1, a progressive talk station, here.
Yes.
Absolutely just opening up her restaurant, her whole life to that cause. And so I can easily believe that all these other causes have benefited so much from knowing her.
I know personally how many causes she has opened her doors for. She is a big leader in trying to get health care reform passed. I mean, she lobbied our senators and our congresspeople and worked her tail off. She worked tirelessly for the Obama campaign, opening the restaurant doors to workers and staff, and always helping. And now, as she talks about her next chapter in her life, she's really going to be focused on local foods and food safety and food security for us. Does this not surprise you?
No, and not at all. Although, it's one of those things where when you think of a small business entrepreneur, often the image people get in their minds is somebody who's focused on just making that business as profitable as possible, that they're absolutely dedicated to the bottom line. And while that's never been something that's been far from her mind, because you have to have that to be successful, she's been so very focused on community, on how we're all in these things together.
Yeah, she is the role model for being smart and value-driven.
Absolutely.
It's no wonder we all admire her.
No, absolutely. And that's why I had to come on by. I thought, you know, I've been doing this particular interview show now for over 2 months, and the focus is always supposed to be on local, because I do so many national topics on other shows. And I thought to myself, wow, this is just an opportunity I can't pass by to make sure that people in this community know about one of the unfortunately unsung heroes, the one of the people who really hasn't gotten the recognition she deserves for really trying to reinforce what it means to be a community.
She's an unsung hero, and you know, maybe a reminder too about how other locally owned restaurants and businesses really have tough challenges, and when they give back so much, how we need to reward them by our patronage.
Absolutely.
But it sure isn't hard, because this is the most fabulous food. So it's not like it's suffering here, you know, it's just the opposite.
Well, no, and her restaurant, the Dardanelles here, is one of many of the Madison originals.
Yes.
But I always felt that this place really earned that title. If for no other reason than that, besides the fact that, of course, that she's always supported everything that I thought was very important, too, I had an event in 2008 where I had people coming in from nationwide to support Progressive Talk, and so when we did a special dinner that Saturday night for that event, of course, we had to come here.
That does not surprise me, and I got a feeling that for the next half hour, you're going to be interviewing people, each with a story like that.
That's excellent. Well, Kathleen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's Dane County Executive Kathleen Falk joining us here, and we're going to keep on going as the night progresses. Thank you, Kathleen. And we're back from the Dardanelles, the farewell bash, if you will, and we're doing a tribute to not just the restaurant, but to Barb as well. And, all right, so we have here...
My name is Russell Gardner.
Hey, Russ.
And I lived in Madison for the last 11 years. I moved up from Galveston, Texas. And one of the first restaurants that we bonded with, if you will, was Dardanelle's. And Barbara was very disclosing about her reason for opening, her philosophy, her Mediterranean diet, and that sort of thing. So we would bring family and friends here, and have ever since, periodically, to... and it was invariably well-received by the people we would bring.
Very cool. So what did she disclose as being her philosophy to you? I'm just curious to hear.
Well, it's she talked about having been a dietitian, nutrition expert, and a Turkish man one day in her clientele said to her, "Now why don't you serve good food?" By which he meant Mediterranean food. And she took that to heart and developed this entire menu. But that's not actually what primarily I wish to speak about.
Yes.
Because 7 years ago in March, when the bombs started dropping in Iraq, I, as a visual artist, and Robin Chapman, a poet, coincided, got together to start something called Epidemic Peace Imagery, which were small 12 by 16 inch works, photographs, visual art, often with poetry in them, or sometimes only frame poems. And the project began and has not been down since. It's been on exhibit somewhere or other since June 1, 2003.
Excellent, excellent.
And the reason I wanted to focus on Dardanelle's is the last showing, that is to say, of an extensive nature, of a high publicized nature, was right here in Dardanelle's in March, the month of March.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it would have been, I'm sure, here more quickly. But years ago, Barbara wasn't having changing shows. But about 4 or 5 months ago, I came here to eat my lunch, and I noticed there was art on the wall. And she told me then that somebody had brought their photographs of a travel and was so exciting that she decided to put them up. And then Bobby Krinsky, who is she was one of the charter members of the Epidemic Peace Imagery Project, we call it EPI for short,
mm-hmm.
Also had her works up and talking about people voting for Obama. And then she invited the Epidemic Peace Imagery to have its show here. So she chose the works that were to go up. She, in fact, arranged that they would be put up. I furnished the labels and the publicity and things of that sort. And so that was, I wanted to get that in because that's, you know, typical of her with her support of Progressive Talk Radio and meetings would be here. I was a part of some of those meetings to say, let's counter 92.1 wishing to do another format such as sports or something.
Right, right.
And she and others were successful. So I'm very pleased to be part of that overall enterprise.
Awesome. Well, that again helps paint a nice broad picture of the lady who just put this whole place together. So
thank you very much for the
opportunity.
Thank
you, Russell. I appreciate that very much. And we're joined now by Mayor Dave, who I believe, if I remember right, was stranded out of the country recently.
I was stuck in Amsterdam for 4 days. Hard work.
I'm glad you managed to get the volcano ash out of the way so you could make it back here in time.
Could make
this.
It back, yes.
Priorities, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I'm happy to be here. You know, to help Barbara celebrate almost 15 years in business. But I obviously sad too that. Unfortunately, this will be the end of Dardanelle's.
Well, at least definitely the way we know it, and most likely, yeah, period. The fact is, though, is that one of the reasons I'm here is because I wanted to collect everyone's impressions of Barb, because right. She definitely has been such a cornerstone of the community.
Yes.
And so what experiences have you had?
Well, Barb supports just about every progressive cause you can imagine. I've been here for so many things over the years, and but also it's just a great neighborhood gathering place. You come in here and you see, you know, virtually everybody in the neighborhood, and it really is the best example of what a local business should be. So we're just going to miss her, but we're also grateful for 15 great years, and you just want to wish her the best in her next endeavors.
Well, that's great. I know when I personally had an event here in Madison where I brought in Progressive Talk luminaries like Tom Hartman, John Elliott, and such, I picked this location, this restaurant, to bring them to as a special dinner on Saturday night, kind of as a thank you.
Yeah.
Because I knew that this was a great representation of Madison. Just it's quirky, but it's high quality, totally unique. I've never seen a restaurant like it anywhere else, and so I figured that this would be a good representation.
That's perfect, you know, and the food was great too. I mean. And it was good for you. The lentil soup. I'm really going to miss the lentil soup.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Well, and for example, Hartman himself is a very strict vegetarian, and yet he was able to have a very enjoyable meal here. And there's not that many places, even as a place as liberal as Madison can be, there's just not that many places that you can get that.
I know. You know, I remember when I was running for mayor the first time in 2003, I was just running ragged. I was just dog tired. And it was about noontime, and I had been out on the west side to do an interview. And I was heading back downtown with my campaign manager, and we heard that the meeting I had over the noon hour had been canceled. And so we were on Monroe Street, and I said, I got to stop at Dardanelle's for lunch. And I sat down, and it was so great. It was the first time in weeks that I had actually used a fork and a knife and a spoon and a regular napkin. I mean, I've been eating.
Well, you didn't have to unwrap your food.
When first. I didn't have to unwrap my food, and it tasted like the best thing I had ever had. And Barbara was so nice to me, and it was just this little respite in a long marathon, and I'll never forget that.
Very cool. Well, is there anything else you'd like to say about Barb in particular?
Well, just that she's done so many great things for the community. I mean, we're all grateful. Everyone from those who benefited from the fundraisers she had here to people who just enjoyed good meals here and enjoyed the camaraderie and part of the neighborhood. And we all wish her well. You know, she's still got a long way to go. And I'm sure there are other good ideas and other contributions that are in Barbara Wright.
Well, as I understand it, the main reason that she needs to step back is her own health at this point. And that the good news is that means she'll be around to be supporting those causes for years to come.
Right, so. Absolutely. And I think that's how all of us feel. You know, we want her to take care of herself.
Yeah, well, so there's one last question everyone wants to know. Yeah. Has she ever been able to pronounce your last name right?
To be perfectly honest, I'm not sure I have heard her ever try. I cannot say that in all the things that she has accomplished in her life that would be particularly significant.
Well, no, of course not. But just for everybody's edification, how about you do it?
Dave. We go with Dave.
Just Dave? You're not going to bother?
Dave's good. Cheslevich is the correct
pronunciation. Well, you know, that's what I figured, but I wanted to hear you say it.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for doing
that.
This. You bet.
Yeah. All right. And joining us now at the Dardanelles Farewell Bash is... Lee Rayburn. And Lee, you've known Barb for quite some time, right?
Ever since, man, that's a tough question. I've known Barb since 2004 when I got started on the mic in Madison.
Oh, very good. And it looks like she knows you too. I believe she just gave you bunny ears. So what was your impression of Barb upon meeting her?
She was beautiful.
Lee, did you hit on Barb?
I didn't. I didn't have the guts to, so I still don't.
Excellent.
But I've grown to love her because of what she does for our community. I'm going to miss this restaurant like no other because of what it does for our community. And it had the best Mediterranean food in the city. You know, I really think Madison is losing a lot, but as I understand it, Barb gains life. So I think it's probably worth it in the big picture.
Yeah. Now, from my conversation with her, she's essentially worked herself into an autoimmune disorder, which a friend of mine in Detroit managed to do by working something around 80 to 100 hour weeks for months on end. And thankfully, stopping that level of work is a good way to start bringing that back down into manageability. So I definitely support what she's doing for her health. But yeah, I mean, you and I, we both know that she has been just a backbone of activism here.
Can't unemployment create an autoimmune disease as well?
Well, honestly, there's a lot that can. But, I mean...
Stress.
Stress, sex, there's all sorts of ways to get autoimmune diseases. What do you think AIDS stands for, friend? But yeah, no, seriously, it's really a shame that it had to happen this way. But, you know, for Barb, would you expect it to happen any other way but for her working so hard at what she loved?
This is obviously a celebration, and it's a celebration of not just the restaurant, but Barb. So
yeah, absolutely.
I think this is obvious. I came here with a little bit of a heavy heart tonight, but it's obviously a happy event. and people are having a wonderful time. The food is obviously out of this world. So I think it's great. I'm really excited for her and for what the future holds for, which I assume means more danger and more trouble.
Well,
I'm
you know,
not kidding.
Well, no, I laugh only because it's so true.
Yes.
Honestly, though, Leah, one of the things that that I'm thinking of, when I think everybody here is very aware that if she steps back from this, which has benefited everybody so much, and how she's handled it, that means that she'll be around for as long as possible to keep on benefiting the community the way she loves to.
All right, you make a good point. I'm sold.
All right, well, is there anything else you wanted to say about Barb or the Dardanelles?
Thank you.
Absolutely. All right. Lee, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
And joining us now here at the Dardanelles Farewell Bash is Spencer Black. Spencer, thank you so much. The first question I would have for you is, why are you here?
Well, I'm here because the food is great and the people are great, but also because this has been a great restaurant. Barbara has been, in addition to running a very delicious restaurant, has been really, Dardanelles has been a place where many progressive gatherings have occurred over the years. I've been here many times for good causes. I remember celebrating the 2006 election here and being here to speak after a showing of Al Gore's movie, An Inconvenient Truth. So Barbara, in addition to being a very savvy businesswoman and someone who has a restaurant that cooks delicious food, is also someone who's been very supportive of progressive causes.
Absolutely. That's one of the main reasons I'm here. I mean, shoot, she supported several of the causes I was, you know, involved in. Frankly, more than supported, I'd say she was one of the key figures in a lot of them. So in particular, though, was there any one key happening here that really stands out in your mind?
Well, I remember coming to a Move On gathering, I think after the a few days after 2006 election. And it was just a sense of, you know, we did it. We really changed things in this country. We came together, and it was a real celebratory move. And that especially stands out in my mind, because a lot of people thought, who were at the meeting, you could just tell, until a few weeks before, they thought, we can't really make a difference. And here they were, the election went the right way. They had mobilized people to speak out for progressive candidates, and they just came together thinking, this is worth celebrating, and this is where we came to celebrate. You know, tonight's a night to just appreciate the fact that Barbara has run this great community-oriented establishment. I'm disappointed she's closing, but I understand. Running a restaurant, even a successful restaurant, is very demanding. I know other people who have done it, and it's just a 24/7 job. So I appreciate all the years she had a great business here in a very walkable community, and all the efforts she made to support progressive causes and the good person that she is.
Absolutely. Well, Spencer, I'd like to thank you so much for coming on to say a few words.
You bet.
All right, and we actually have Barb of the Dardanelles right here. Now, Barb, there's just one mystery that everybody wants to know. What's your last name?
Right.
No, seriously, because everyone's, it's Barb of the Dardanelles. Yeah, so this is Barb Wright, owner, proprietor of the Dardanelles, and of course, as you've been hearing from Mayor Dave, from Kathleen Falk, from Russell, from Lee Rayburn, and many others, this is a person who is respected not just for running a great restaurant, but for doing so much with it.
So that's very nice of you. You know, when I started the restaurant business, I thought about it as being like giving a party every night. You know, you invite people to come, you put out food, you try to give people good service. It's an extension of hospitality, which is something that I just loved doing. But what I didn't realize is it gave me lots of opportunity to not only get to know people, but to be part of what was happening in the community and in the neighborhood. And I began to learn things from listening to people talking about issues. You know, when I started the restaurant, I really was never involved in politics in my whole life. But as things, you know, as time went by and the Bush and Cheney era became, you know, started happening, and I'd hear people talking about things, it made me curious. So I started looking things up and, you know, trying to read articles about stuff, and or people would ask me what I thought about things, and I didn't really have an opinion. So I started looking things up. And I had this feeling that there was something terribly wrong, especially after 9/11. And that really is kind of what motivated me to start. I decided after 9/11 that I would do anything that I could do, any opportunity that presented itself to me to try to change things, to try to bring things back to a progressive era in this country, I would do. And so all of the things that I do just came out of that.
Wow. So what you discovered essentially was that Madison was a very educational experience.
Very. And, you know, many different people come in here. You know, a wide variety of people. Robert McChesney, he was just here a little while ago, communications professor, has written a couple books with John Nichols.
Yeah.
You know, he would come to lunch with people and have these amazing discussions. Stanley Cutler, who's an expert on Watergate, would come in and talk with people. He was writing a book, and I got to listen to all the things that he was putting in it. And the dinner that you organized here for the progressive radio hosts, I mean, like, that was like you died and went to heaven. I mean, when did you see all those people in the room and the conversations that they were having? Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins and Richard Green were having a conversation about all of the people who had mysteriously died. And I could only fill their water glasses up so much. I just wanted to, like, you know, like, just stand there and listen, but I couldn't do it.
Well, that's excellent. So basically, this little place that you created here with, you know, great food and all that wound up being kind of a focal point for you to interact with the community, not just Madison, but it sounds like even people who are renowned nation and worldwide for various topics.
Well, you know, we have that specialness in Madison where the world comes here. And so, you know, if you're paying attention and you're really looking, searching for an understanding of what's going on, you can find it. Yishe Sopa came here. He is the mentor of the Dalai Lama.
Oh, wow.
And he was the guy that they created the Buddhist Studies Department at the university for him. He's written, I think, 50 books.
Wow.
Translating things from, and his newest book, and he's really old now, but his newest book is called The Crystal Mirror, which is so awesome.
So 50 of them?
I think he's written like 50 books or translated 50 books or something.
That's just a few more than Tom Hartman. That's amazing.
He's super, and you know, the thing is, you know, where else would you have a chance to, you know, to meet someone like that?
Well, I wouldn't have suspected that this would have been the chance either, but here it is. You know, here's where it happened. It's just one of those things, though, that, you know, yes, Madison affords these opportunities, but we have to be very clear, not everywhere in Madison does, but this place did.
No, yeah, and I'm very happy that people felt comfortable here. You know, we probably didn't get a lot of really, really right-wing conservatives coming in here. The other thing, too, is that Madisonians, I think, are critical thinkers. There's quite a number of people who, I mean, if you took a poll of people just walking down the street in Madison, I think you'd find more people in this town who don't watch television all that regularly and get their news from other sources, which means that you have to do some critical thinking about it.
Oh, absolutely. I know that, I mean, I, for one, rarely watch television for news, or if I do, it's because my little 7-month-old has gotten me out of bed in time to watch BBC World News on the cable. But generally speaking, it's internet or print or other such things. So, you know, I do see where it's coming from, where you're talking about there's a lot of people out here in Madison that don't just accept what's being put towards them. You know, they like their media cool, if you will. They like it with a little interpretation, not just hot and in their face. So.
Yeah, or the number of, like, you know, graphics that they splash across the screen. And I mean, it's like if you actually condense the news down, it's like, you know, it feels like it's like 4 minutes of information and then all the rest of these graphics and advertisements and various stuff. And to me, it always feels so fake.
Yeah, well, not to mention, of course, the advertisements for the pharmaceuticals that will cause spontaneous combustion.
Because I didn't watch TV for so long, every time I would see it, it would feel like a parody, or like The Onion wrote it or something. It would feel like they couldn't possibly be doing this seriously.
Yeah, well, I love there's a commercial for a pharmaceutical that's supposed to be, if you take it if you're suffering from asthma, but it increases the risk of asthma-related death.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, no, thank you. No, really, that's okay. But speaking kind of to that.
That's too funny.
She's having trouble keeping a straight face on that. No, seriously, though, I'm not going to name the brand because I don't want to get in any issues here. But the thing is that along those lines, with this place, for example, you wanted to serve people local food, right?
Yeah, and, you know, we started out having one or two farmers that supplied us with things, mostly because I have this serious feeling that the GMO seeds, you know, the genetically modified ones, I'm always afraid it's going to turn into a bad science fiction movie. You know, that in the end they'll be doing something terrible to us and we won't know until it's too late. So I started, you know, trying to develop relationships with my farmers. And they oftentimes would, I'd be their first customer, you know, their first restaurant customer. So it was a baby industry. And then little by little over the course of years, you know, we've all gotten it together and now it's, you know, it really has its own dynamic. And it's amazing because they can grow, you know, it locally and for about the same price. Wonderful organic food. And we don't buy everything organic. We like the word natural. Natural grown. And now I wouldn't buy things from the broadline food companies. Like, who wants their stuff full of chemicals and pesticides?
Well, and you're getting a lot of it in fresh and you don't, you know.
We never have a spoilage problem because it comes to us right out of the field. And then it can stay in our cooler. I mean, you know, it wouldn't stay there more than like 5 or 6 days at the most. But you know, even if it did stay there for a week, it'd still be fresh. Because the other stuff's been on a truck for, you know, half a month.
Well, exactly. All the 5 or 6 days in your cooler was spent for that other stuff, as you said, getting here from California or Mexico or Guatemala or who knows where it came from. Yeah.
You never know.
Well, that's, and so basically, you were able with this restaurant to put to use the things you were learning about your progressive values about food and things. You're able to put that to use and thus actually help found, in some ways, the market for it locally.
Well, yeah, I was, you know, I was there for the, you know, the beginning of like the buy local thing and the buy fresh, buy local and REAP and all of those things because, you know, all of us who cared about the restaurant business getting access to, you know, food that, you know, didn't have bad things in it. We were all working together. And, you know, most of us have been working on it for 20-some years, you know, since the 60s or the 70s. But now suddenly people get it. Now there are mechanisms. And, I mean, you know, it's very exciting to know that, you know, we do have a alternate food economy that maybe one day will be the food economy before... I don't know if you know that the Supreme Court was hearing the case about from Monsanto and the GMO alfalfa seeds. I think most people don't realize that if Monsanto is allowed to patent this GMO alfalfa, you know, you can't control spread from one thing to another.
Right.
So pretty soon it'll be all over the world, and Monsanto will own all of the alfalfa.
Yeah. Oh no, it's really insidious, and I'm really glad that you helped take a stand on that just by your business practices.
Well, the other thing, too, that you don't realize is that it is entirely possible that the autoimmune problems that I'm having come from the GMO problems.
It is possible, although at least with you doing so much of the non-GMO foods, hopefully that will be mitigated somewhat for you.
Yeah, see, but the thing is that a lot of those things are permeated in you know, in the water, in the air. They're everywhere around us.
Yeah, true. Well, Barb, again, I thank you for everything you have done. And I really do look forward to things you're going to be doing in the future. Now, do you have any current ideas or plans of things you'd like to do post-Dardanelles?
Yes, I have lots of them. I'd like to write a cookbook. I would like to teach cooking classes. I would like to finish my novel. I would like to travel some. And I would like to spend more time working on writing stories for contests.
Oh, excellent. So if we want to support you in any of these things, how would we do it? Where would we look you up?
Oh, I'll be around. People will see me.
Just keep looking out for Barbara Wright. He's important. All right, Barbara, thank you so much.
Well,
is there anything else you wanted to say?
No. Good luck with your show. And and I'll have to, now that I have more time, I'll be able to stream and find all of the things that I want to do.
And that's interview points for this week. If you want more information, go to TMI, TMI, TMI.com. I'm Aldous Tyler. Thanks for listening.